Oh, I don't know if that was a promotion or what. I'm the father of the That's trying quite a tribe to take care of here. Well, I'm looking this month at us being this whole theme of light and just recognizing how much work is needed. Just finished reading another biography, or kind of an autobiography, I guess. Hal Donaldson, who is the founder of this group called Convoy of Hope. It's a relief organization, Christian relief organization that has a whole fleet of semi-trailers and warehouses, and they respond to disasters all over the world. They've been in Haiti for years now until the work gets finished there. And then there's so many others, all the hurricane things that go on, and they're in various countries. And it was just his story of how God took him from feeling like a total failure because of his family background. And God just kind of spoke to him and said, I don't see you as a failure. I'm opening up doors for you. And so they started with just a dream and nothing much else. And they were borrowing somebody's truck and they were storing stuff in a garage. And now they have several hundred thousand square feet of warehouse space and a whole fleet of trucks, and just amazing. So just realizing how much, from someone who felt like he had nothing to really offer. And then God just said, oh, maybe that's how you see it, but that's not how I see it. So it's kind of those kind of things I keep reading and hearing about that make me realize we might be small and few, et cetera, but what God sees is something totally different. So let me get into this paragraph here on this message I'm calling The Light of the Way. Much of what Jesus taught his disciples had to pass through the filter of their current cultural understanding, where his messages would frequently get stuck. Many times, the disciples failed to truly get what Jesus meant in his parables and stories and illustrations. These times required asking more questions for a clearer explanation. And some of these instances left Jesus incredulous at their slowness, their seeming inability to believe what he told them. And you remember those times, like, have I been so long with you and you still don't? How slow you are. Oh, ye of little faith. I mean, all these things that Jesus spoke,
Like that.
not as condemnation, but just like, I've already told you guys this. I can't believe you don't understand this already. And so I want to look in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. This is the famous Sermon on the Mount that Matthew records for us. And if you've watched the film The Chosen, it's pretty interesting how Jesus actually recruits Matthew, the one of the disciples who actually has autism, to come out and record the message as he prepares it. It's pretty cool to watch it from that perspective. So Jesus, anyway, he's got a crowd gathered, plus he has his disciples with him. And he's speaking, and it's a long message, and so the disciples are probably as involved as sometimes we are listening to a long-winded preacher, and not me, of course, but others. And so you're listening, but half listening, and if you've got your phone, there are so many other interesting things you can scroll through while you're pretending to listen, et cetera. And so the disciples are paying attention, sort of. And then Jesus gets to this line in Matthew 5 and 14. And in the Passion Translation, it said, your lives light up the world.
Wow.
And I picture
Wow.
Jesus looking at the crowd, but taking time when he goes, you, and he kind of, there's this pause, what we call this pregnant pause. And he looks at each one of the disciples, you.
Wow.
And he locks eyes with each one of them. He goes around and he goes, your lives light up the world.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I'm sure Jesus had the disciples' attention. What did Jesus just say? They might have even missed a little bit of what comes next, unless he waited. Maybe there was a pause there, because Jesus knew this was going to be radical information for these disciples.
Yeah.
We're just fishermen. You know, we're just ordinary, no-name people. Nobody even knows we're here. Nobody knows we exist, etc. And what are you saying, Jesus? Your lives light up the world? And in another translation, of course, it says, you are the light of the world. And you'll remember that Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Now he's looking at the disciples and the crowd going, you are the light of the world. Your lives light up the world. You know, it's like, what on earth does that mean? I mean, if he were in this room this morning or on the screen this morning going, your lives light up the world. What? You know, if you're paying attention, you're going, I'm not really sure what that means. What do you mean by that, Jesus? And the really interesting thing here is that when Jesus says the world, the Greek word is cosmos. Your lives light up the cosmos. And it's like, okay, wow, that's a stretch, Jesus. I mean, from fishermen, et cetera, to I really make an impact that much on the cosmos? And so the blank there in number one, Matthew 5:14, the light of the world, that's you. We need to bring that home. This is who we are now. Jesus tells his disciples, and therefore us, by extension, we're the light of the world. Our lives light up the cosmos. And sometimes, you know, we probably wonder, what kind of light are we providing? You know, maybe it's just a candle. But Jesus stops in his message here. I think there's got to be a pause after he says this. He can't just keep going. This is too powerful. Your lives light up the world. And the disciples, their heads are starting to spin, and they're trying to pop up all kinds of other things. And in the process, I think they inevitably go to the Old Testament, to the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah 49:6, and I want to read this passage just because it's fresh language for us. I want to read this out of the message. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. And just reading maybe a couple of verses ahead to get context. And now God says, this God who took me in hand from the moment of birth to be his servant, to bring Jacob back home to him, to set a reunion for Israel. What an honor for me in God's eyes that God should be my strength. He says, but that's not a big enough job for my servant, just to recover the tribes of Jacob, merely to round up the strays of Israel. I'm setting you up as a light for the nations so that my salvation becomes global.
Global. Wow.
So the disciples knew this verse, you know, but it's like anything else. It would be read in the synagogue. It would be part of the reading eventually, you know, as they made their way through the prophets, etc. But all of a sudden, that verse comes back. You know, I'm setting you up as a light for the nation so that my salvation goes global. And so Jesus saying, your lives light up the world. I'm setting you up as a light for the nations. At this point, their brains are really spinning. I mean, they're really trying to figure out what all is Jesus really including in here, that our lives are something that we never would have considered. It's like, how can he be saying this? And yet it sounds so much like the prophet Isaiah from 700 years before. Words that they've known, messages that they've known, but they never realized that those words in Isaiah's prophecy also referred to them. So the light of the world, that's you. And number two, a light for the nations, blank there, you've been chosen. A light for the nation, you've been chosen. It's really pretty amazing passage to consider that regardless of where we've come from, whatever kind of a mess our background was, whatever lack we had, whatever insignificance we might have thought about our family, more and more I think of the crisis in our day of children without parents, and they're really having to deal with all kinds of stuff that we would have maybe not have thought of. And a friend of mine, you know, he says, you know, a lot of children now have ADD, and he calls it absent dad disease. And, you know, so trying to come through with all of these things. So all of a sudden, these disciples, regardless of where they've come from, whoever they might have thought themselves to be, all of a sudden they're the idea that Jesus is putting out to them is, no, 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 your lives light up the world. And not just, so even for the nations, so that my salvation, the message of my love will go global. And you're part of this. You're part of making this happen. Spin, 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 spin. Can you imagine just how, like, whoa, I don't understand what Jesus is really saying here. If we continue in Matthew 5, Jesus continues, let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide a city that hides, that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So then he calls them a city. I mean, you know, how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? So part of the way you're shining your light is I'm setting you up like a city on the top of a hill. We don't get many opportunities here to see that kind of thing, a city that is isolated on the top of a hill. But in France, there are many old villages that were specifically and strategically set on a hilltop to protect them from people who might want to invade. And they're often surrounded, the Roman cities are often surrounded by walls, but they're on a hilltop. And so at nighttime, you can be driving along and up on a hilltop, you see all the lights of this village or this town. And so you really can see that. And so Jesus is referring to them and saying, your placement in the world is like you're a city on top of a hill. And at nighttime, your light is going to be shining. You can't hide that. Even with the walls around, there are bound to be some areas in the town that are seen above the walls. And so he's pulling them to recognize that there's so much more to their lives. What they see in themselves, how they perceive themselves, is very different from the way Jesus perceives them. And he has come to give them this amazing word. And then he says at the beginning of verse 16, so don't hide your light. So don't hide your light. And that's the blanket number three. Don't hide your light. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, we hear this, but I always look at it and go, why does Jesus say, don't hide your light? Even though this is the light that Jesus has given, he's the light of the world. Now he considers us to be the light of the world. It's possible to hide our light. If it weren't possible, Jesus wouldn't have bothered saying it. But he's telling them now, they're still in shock. And can't you just see a whole crowd on the hillside and they're all staring at him with their mouths hanging open going, are you really saying this to us? And can you imagine the nameless people up on that hillside? How many of them heard this message and received it deep into their hearts? How many of those people that we still have never heard of, never heard their name, but how important and impactful the rest of their lives were because Jesus said, your light, your life lights up the world. So it always amazes me to think of the stories we've never heard, the stories that aren't written down, you've never heard of, but how many people that made an impact on the world, made an impact because of some nameless person. in their background, who guided them, who spoke to them, maybe spoke to them one time, right, and it changed their entire trajectory of their lives. Mm-hmm. So Jesus says, don't hide your light. It's possible to do nothing, try to, and then, because he even uses the example, who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Basically saying, your lamp, I've lit you up. I've lit you up. So don't put a basket over it. Don't try to hide it. The whole point of being a light is to shine. And so he says, don't hide your light. Don't try to pretend you haven't heard this message. You know, this is a problem with messages. You know, we're convicted. And then sometimes, maybe if you're like me, you walk away and you've just been so impacted by a message and you just, yes, I know this is me. But then you walk away and suddenly, you know, your old nature takes over and it's like, but you don't really want to do anything about that, do you? And then eventually you listen to that voice in the back of your mind, wow, can you imagine how risky that would be? And, oh, I don't want to do that. It might be uncomfortable and it might demand more of me than I really want to give. And so our old nature and that voice that's always running in the background can sometimes take over. And so, you know, just forget about that. I'll provide you plenty of distractions so you don't have to deal with what you've just received, what you know is true, what your heart resonates with. But I'll keep you busy running around doing a whole bunch of other things so you don't have to really give into that. So then we decide without deciding, don't we?
Yeah.
We just hide our light. We wouldn't call it that because that's horrible. We'd never do that. But then what really ends up happening is we just kind of keep it under wraps. Don't rock the boat. Don't stir things up. And so Jesus is warning them, not only don't hide your light, but he continues the rest of verse 16, and he says, let it shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. The commendable things you do. I'm so happy that they've translated this way. The commendable things you do. Not the heroic deeds. Not necessarily the going to the other ends of the earth, like our friend that I wrote about in the note yesterday, who in his 80s is still making that hard, arduous trek to Ukraine.
Yeah.
But the commendable things you do, the little things, the things that nobody knows you're even doing sometimes. But every once in a while, someone notices, and it will eventually cause them to give praise to your Father in heaven. Just the commendable things, the good things, the good things you do, taking care of your family, the good thing you do when you're at work, being a good employee, the good things you do for your neighbors, et cetera, et cetera. All these little things that maybe you go, well, nobody even notices that's happening. And certainly some parents go, man, it's really thankless. You know, you never really get much back, you know. But eventually you get these things back, and then you treasure the rare times when you get a word back that goes, oh, that was noticed. Oh, that's wonderful. Yay. And so it gives you great joy to hold on to those things. So the fourth blank there is let your light shine brightly. Not just shine, but shine it brightly. Invest yourself in shining your light. Make your intentions to shine your light. The knowledge that we've been given, the light that Jesus gives to us, that our lives change the world in the way we live our everyday lives. It changes the world. One person at a time, one kind deed at a time, one kind word at a time. And Jesus says, so your lives light up the world. Wherever we go, you know, Paul talks about the aroma of Christ when people meet us. And there's this aroma of Christ. People recognize there's something in you or about you, and they don't know what it really is, but it makes them curious to know, What is it that you have that makes you do these things or makes you not respond in a way that I expected you to respond, you know, with grace and with mercy sometimes? So here's this amazing passage that I've read over many times, and you know, I've heard it so often, you know, you are the light of the world, you know, and it doesn't go zing. But now when I'm looking at it here, I just think, wow, for the disciples, and if we really catch it, I think there's got to be a zing for us as well. This is amazing what Jesus has done. And he doesn't say, some of you have lives that will light up the world. He just makes the blanket statement, your lives light up the cosmos. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible reality that Jesus has transferred his light when he says, I am the light of the world. And now he's telling not just the disciples, but the entire crowd on the hillside, your lives light up the world. As they walk away from this meeting, this time of listening to Jesus' teaching, if they have paid attention, if they've been convicted, and they start realizing and not just pretending, but acting out this light that is lighting up the world. Wow. Our group here, after our meeting here, if we say, I know that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and my life lights up the entire cosmos, there's a responsibility that comes with that. There's like, oh, I thought I was anonymous. I thought nobody would even know if I was here or not. But that's not the way Jesus sees it. And so the great encouragement here is that Jesus is saying this to all people without condition, you know, unless, you know, except for you, you came from a bad background. Except for you, you did this. Except for you, you've never tried, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't make any of those exceptions. He just says, you are. I'm investing myself in you. I will eventually invest my entire life to bring this truth home to you. And I will eventually send my own spirit to live inside of you to help you to shine brightly when you don't have the ambition in yourself to do it. I will let that, and I will make that my mission. So I've included also from The Voice, Matthew 5:16, this last verse at the bottom of the page, because it's good as well. You are like that illuminating light. Let your light shine everywhere you go, that you may illumine creation, so men and women everywhere may see your good actions, may see creation at its fullest, may see your devotion to me, and may turn and praise your Father in heaven because of it. So they've expanded in here, but just a fuller explanation of what's been given to us and how much we can do now for us because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. He is there. He's the spirit of Jesus to empower us, to encourage us, to build us up. These gifts that we've been given, it's just so easy. You know, the enemy is terrified that a Christian will wake up one day and say, I have the Spirit of God living in me. There is nothing that can defeat me. There's nothing that can defeat me. The Shane and Shane song, you've already won.
Yes.
You know, that's our situation. You've already won, Jesus. You've already won, and I'm in you. And so this light that you've given me can shine, and I can determine that it will shine brightly. What an amazing, jaw-dropping announcement from Jesus to his disciples and to us. And if we are slightly catching on to being in that situation where our lives light up the cosmos, I mean, we could almost laugh about it, right? It's like, yeah, right, sure. Okay, well, whatever. But Jesus said it. Some people are really upset about all the other writings and Paul and something. I was just talking to someone this week, and go, you know, but But Paul, you know, who was Paul? And he didn't even know Jesus. And why does he write all of this stuff? And it's like, so I just said, my response was, fine. Just read what Jesus did and do what Jesus did, and
That's
you'll be
good.
good, you know?
Right.
I didn't bother telling him that Paul really doesn't add anything. He just expands on what Jesus did. But, you know, if we just do what Jesus told us to do, I think our lives will be shining brightly. And it's an exciting possibility that he wants to use us. He's called his disciples. He's called us. He didn't have to, right? He didn't have to call us. He could have just done all the work himself, but that wasn't God's plan. And it was to set us on this amazing journey that. And as we look at people like this one I've just read, this Hal Donaldson, you know, his to shine this light. Or a year or so ago, I read this biography of Martin Luther. And, you know, it's like, talk about letting your light shine and paying a price for letting your light shine. And so many heroes of the church throughout the centuries who have allowed the spirit of Jesus to shine through them. And yes, they pay a price, but wow, what a privilege, what an honor to be given to shine Jesus' light. So that's our challenge, I guess, and our invitation today to shine our lives brightly in this world. And certainly our world needs light shining in it. Now, if not, if like never before, probably. So let me pray, and then let's take some time to share our excitement about what we do. Jesus, thank you for being so clear about what you've given us to do. And you told your disciples just before your ascension that they would be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. It was just consistent with everything else you told them. It's consistent with everything else you tell us. So you came as light. You made us your little lights. And so often we sang in Sunday school, "Let my little light shine." And it was fun to sing, and it was a cute song, but could those words really drop into our hearts now?
Yes.
That we can really let our little lights shine. So we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your spirit working in us to bring home the message of how incredibly important our lives are. And every commendable deed that we do. So we bless you. We bless you for that power. We bless you for the work that is happening even now in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.